Chapter 9. Popular culture hadn't adequately prepared Catherine on the finer points of being a vampire. She thought back to all of the vampire movies and television shows she'd seen as she lay on her back, staring up at the trees, reconstructing the fall in her mind, wondering which branches she'd hit on her way down. Every goddamn one of them. All the shows and movies had covered the basics. Stay out of the sun. Don't walk into people's homes uninvited. Try not to get stabbed in the heart. None of them, that she could recall, had ever warned against changing bat forms mid-air without an ample amount of open space beneath you. The transformation from huge bat to normal-sized bat had only taken a second, but it was enough to throw off her wing-flapping rhythm. For her panicky effort to regain her orientation and maintain flight, she'd been rewarded with a face full of pine needles, one of which poked her right in her little bat eye. From there, she bounced from branch to branch, without knowing which way was up, slamming her right ear on a particularly large bough before her fall was finally broken by the ground. She took her half-elf form, sat up, and was annoyed to find that her ear still hurt. She needed some life juice. Concentrating on the creatures of the night, she willed them toward her. The first customer who lined up to die was a rust-colored wolf. He bounded toward her, tail and tongue wagging, and lay down at her feet. Having a wolf not hate her made Catherine think of Butterbean. She'd tried the creatures of the night trick on him, willing him to regain his affection, even if only temporarily, by any means she could. But Butterbean had only growled and snarled louder at her. She couldn't bring herself to kill the wolf lying in front of her, though it was so eager to serve. She stroked the fur on top of its head until option two came along. A lean, brown rat, much healthier looking than the city rat she'd grown accustomed to, scurried forward to do its master's bidding. Catherine allowed the rat to crawl onto her hand. Its fur was soft, sleek, and not crawling with fleas. Gripping its unresisting body tightly around the belly, she tore its head off with her teeth. When she'd sucked the last fluid ounce of blood she could squeeze out of the poor creature, she was left wanting more, but at least her ear felt better. Sadly, she didn't have the time for an all-out feeding frenzy. She had to get back above the forest canopy to keep an eye on Julian and Stacy, which is why she'd switched bat forms to begin with. They'd been easy enough to find. Julian was wasting his time trying to find his bird by peeking through gaps in the foliage. Catherine had a much better view of the area from here on the ground, and it was lacking in talking birds. Not really having any helpful advice to give, she decided not to announce her presence. After seeing them kiss, it felt really awkward to barge in on uninvited on their romantic, moonlit carriage carpet ride. Stacy would probably think she was just trying to vag block her for Tim. Catherine had no time for that drama. She would hang back, observe, and only intervene if they got into the sort of trouble that could only be resolved with fists and teeth. Taking her normal-sized bat form again, she flew to the top of the tallest tree in the area and found a branch that would support her meager weight. The carpet had barely moved. Julian was still hopelessly peering down into Ravenless Forest. Standing was still awkward, so Catherine tried taking Ravenous's advice and hung upside down. It felt more natural, but at the same time, extremely stupid. She didn't have long to ponder that quandary. Stacy took control of the piloting, and the carpet zoomed away. Catherine took off in hot pursuit. The carpet moved faster than her little bat wings could take her. She'd need to take her big bat form again if she was going to keep up. Having learned her lesson about changing forms midair, she climbed higher into the sky. When the air was noticeably cooler and the flying carpet was little more than a tiny red speck zipping across the shag carpet of forest, she changed forms. She only fell about 20 feet before regaining control of herself in the air. She'd probably overdone it with the altitude, but at least she wasn't crashing through the trees again. The main road was just up ahead, and it looked like Stacy was making a beeline for it. When your target could be anywhere, head for the place where you can cover the most open ground as quickly as possible. Catherine and Cooper had used the same logic to find Gin Fizzle. Upon reaching the road, Stacy turned right, back toward the city. She flew curiously low to the ground. Catherine would have opted for more height, but the reasoning behind Stacy's choice of altitude became apparent when Catherine observed her peering into the trees as she flew. Not a bad plan, but telling of just how hopeless a goose chase they were on. While Stacy was preoccupied, staring into the empty forest on her left, some horrible monster broke from the tree line on the right and ran toward the carpet. It looked like Sweetums from the Muppets, but with a beak. They were flying too low. If Stacy didn't turn around, that thing would tear them to pieces. Damn it, Stacy! Turn! Look! Fuck! Catherine would have to step in, which was all the more awkward now, as she would have to admit she'd been stalking them this whole time. No, fuck that. It wouldn't be awkward at all. It would be vindicating. Keeping their stupid asses from getting killed had been the whole point of following them to begin with. Catherine started her dive. She'd spent too much time deliberating. Hopefully, Stacy would have enough hit points to allow her to survive a single attack from that thing. Flapping harder, she thought she might just make it in time to ram the beast before it intercepted them. For that to work, there was no time to try to catch it from the side. She had to count on the carpet being at least high enough off the ground so that she could swoop under it without planting her face into the road. The monster let out a terrible howling scream as it moved in for the attack. Just as Catherine was able to make out just how narrow a gap she was dealing with, it widened. Stacy had pulled the carpet out of harm's way. This, of course, put Catherine on a collision course with the beast, which wasn't a terrible thing in and of itself. It was a giant walking bag of much-needed blood, but she didn't want to face it in bat form if she didn't have to. And she also didn't want to give away her presence, now that not giving away her presence was once again an option. She banked a hard right and made for the trees. The combination of her great size and speed made it impossible to maneuver between them, and she caught a trunk with her left wing, spun around counterclockwise, and crash-landed in the dirt. Her whole body hurt like a son of a bitch, and she couldn't move her left wing. Transforming back into her half-elven form was excruciating. Her bat screech transitioned to a half-elven groan. Oh, fuck. The payoff was less than she'd hoped for. She was hoping her limb would have righted itself as it morphed from wing to arm, but she knew as soon as the process was complete that the bone in her upper arm was broken. She'd give it a few minutes and see if her regenerative powers would kick in. After a few seconds, without even a trace of relief, she knew it wasn't happening. She needed blood. Trying her best to ignore the pain, Catherine closed her eyes and focused her mind on rats and wolves. In her current state, she'd be more than happy to kill a wolf. Thoughts of Butterbean be damned. Crash! 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 Shit! Catherine opened her eyes just in time to see the terrifyingly ridiculous beaked bear man monster lunging at her. She rolled onto her back and slammed both heels into its furry, feathery chest, launching it backwards into the air. Its head connected with a low branch, somersaulting it so that it landed on its head. The beast was disoriented long enough for Catherine to struggle to her feet, but not much longer. Its eyes were wild with rage. This wasn't a creature that hunted for food. It lived for the sole purpose of killing anything it came across. Catherine bared her fangs and brandished the nails on her good arm. Those crazy-ass eyes were coming out. She kept close to a tree, shielding her gimpy arm behind the trunk while trying not to advertise it as a weakness. The beast ran at her, beak open and arms spread wide like she was its long-lost lover. She kept her own mouth open and her right arm raised, purposely telegraphing an impending bite or slash. But when it was close enough, she gave it a foot in the crotch. Catherine was gambling on it being male and mammalian enough to have a set of testicles buried somewhere under the tangle of fur and feathers between its legs. And from the way the thing doubled over, her gamble had paid off. Now that its head was within reach, she drove her middle three fingers into its left eye, reached up for its skull from the inside, and pulled it toward her. She tore into its neck with her teeth, ripping away a mouthful of fur, feathers, and flesh. With the angle she was gripping the beast, her arm was out of its beak's reach. It made a wild punch at her side. Catherine barely felt it. The blood was flowing, and she was gulping it down. The pain in her left arm subsided, and she found she was able to move her fingers again. With every gulp of hot, salty blood, Catherine grew stronger as the beast's desperate punches grew less and less substantial until it stopped punching altogether. By the time it was no longer able to stand, Catherine's left arm was fully functional again, and she supported its great weight with both hands until she felt bloated with blood. She let the body fall on the ground and pulled the eyeball she'd been gripping out of the creature's head. It came out with a goopy trail of bloody nerves. She stared at the eye in her hand and thought of Ravenous. He'd made good on his word and even hung around to see that she wasn't disturbed, so long as one didn't count being urinated and defecated on in your sleep disturbing. He was a good bird, and Julian was lucky to have him as a friend. She decided to save the eye for when they finally caught up to him. The bag of holding would be as good as Tupperware for food storage. Catherine opened the bag and put the eye inside. groaned the creature on the ground. Shit, it's still alive. Catherine looked at it and had a second thought. Or it's alive again. If this giant asshole vamped out on her, their differences in size might put her at a disadvantage. It was too heavy to lift up and smash its head open against a tree trunk. Catherine looked around for a decent-sized rock to brain it with, but came up wanting. Shut the fuck up, said Catherine. I'm trying to think. She looked at the moaning creature, riding the line between life and death, or possibly death and life, and found the solution was staring her right in the face. It was an icky solution, but only slightly ickier than ripping out its eyeball had been. Catherine rolled up the sleeve on her right arm. She pinned the beast down by the throat with her left hand, thankfully cutting off its ability to continue groaning, and plunged her right fist into the open eye socket. The creature's body convulsed wildly as she invaded its skull. She dug her fingers deep into what felt like a combination of cake and jello, grabbed a hefty fistful, and pulled her arm back out. The creature lay still as Catherine held what must have been a good third of its brain in her hand. She considered saving this for Ravenous as well, but wasn't sure if he was into brains or not. She decided against it and tossed it away. Discarding the brain didn't bother her as much as leaving behind all the blood still left in the thing's massive body. She didn't know how fresh blood had to be in order to nourish her, but it felt irresponsible to let all of this extra blood go to waste. Who knew when she'd be in another emergency? Catherine opened the bag of holding. It was going to be a tight squeeze. She decided to go feet first. The feet were a curious thing. They were padded on the bottom like paws, but the toes were scaly, more closely resembling bird talons than bear claws. But then, what the fuck did she know? She shoved both feet into the bag and started pulling the mouth up its legs like a pair of pants. The creature's waist stretched the limits of the bag's opening, making it clear that its significantly broader chest wasn't going to happen. Shit, said Catherine, then thought for a moment. If she broke the rib cage, she could possibly squeeze enough air out of its lungs to lessen his girth. It was worth a shot. Catherine straddled the beast over the abdomen and rained down both fists in a flurry of punches, smashing ribs like they were made of wicker. The creature let out one final lifeless groan as Catherine sat on its chest, pressing the air past its vocal cords. Tugging on the bag, she found her plan had worked. With some effort, she was just able to stuff the chest into the bag's stretched opening. That is, until she got to its arms. God damn it! She'd gone too far to give up now. The solution this time was a simple one. Those fucking arms were coming off. The joints came out of the sockets easily enough, but it took a bit of gnawing to separate the sinew and flesh. Once the arms were off, the rest of the creature's body slid into the bag with ease. Satisfied with her accomplishment and a belly full of blood, Catherine took her giant bat form and started flying northward up the road as fast as her wings could take her. At the rate Stacy and Julian had been traveling before, she figured she'd catch up with them in no time.